All right. Good evening, everyone. Let's begin. So first of all, our shiur tonight is sponsored by the Elbaum family, by Mrs. Shirley Elbaum and Avron and Gali Elbaum, in memory of Jerry Elbaum, Zichron Livracha, and Yaakov Koppel Ben Shirley. What's Jerry's father's name? Yaakov Koppel Ben. Ben Manuel. And we hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah that his neshama will have an aliyah. And I know that even now, clearly the void of his passing is still felt by his family and still felt by his community. But we hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah that he enjoys a lichtiga gan Eden. So tonight, in our final shiur, prior to, there should be, if anyone needs additional sheets, if you run out of sheets back there, there are additional sheets up here. So tonight in our final shiur prior to Pesach, we're going to focus a little bit on the Haggadah. And I want to draw your attention to what I think is a fascinating episode. You know, the beautiful part about the Haggadah, and the truth is the beautiful part about everything in Judaism, is there are a lot of things that we do mechanistically. Many things that we do that year in and year out, and we know how to do it, we know when to do it, we know what to do, but the truth is then when we take a step back and begin to examine it a little bit, we begin to scratch our heads and wonder to ourselves why. So here in the middle of the section of Magid in the Haggadah, so the Haggadah, again, there are sheets, there are additional sheets up here if anyone needs. So in the middle of the section of Magid, so the Haggadah seems to introduce us, Chaim, maybe just take a few back, thank you. The Haggadah introduces us to an episode that appears to be totally out of place. Number one, Omer Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said the following: Hare anika ben shivim shana. I am like 70 years old. Velo zachisi shete Omer yitzias mitzrayim balelos. And I was never privileged to remember the Exodus at night. Ad shedarsha ben Zoma. Until ben Zoma came along and taught the following teaching. Ben Zoma said, Leman tiskor es yom tzeischa me'eretz mitzrayim. So Ben Zoma quoted the pasuk from Devarim, or that you remember the day that you left Egypt, kol yemei chayecha, all the days of your life. So Ben Zoma dashed, Ben Zoma extrapolated, yemei chayecha, the days of your life, that refers to yamin, that refers to day. What that means is there's an obligation to remember the Exodus each and every day. Kol yemei chayecha, all of the days, the kol comes to teach us something additional. The kol comes to teach us, halelos, comes to include the night time. So again, just to understand Ben Zoma's drasha, because it's going to be important going forward, kol yemei chayecha, all of the days refer to the days. Kol, all, which is an extra word, comes to tell us that we're obligated to remember the Exodus at night as well. The chachamim say, no, yemei chayecha, the days of your life, that refers to a olam hazeh, that refers to this world. Kol yemei chayecha, all the days of your life, lahavi yemos hamashiach. So here's what everyone agrees with. Everyone agrees that the word kol, all, is coming to include something additional. The question is, what is the additional item that is being included? So according to Ben Zoma, kol, whereas yemei chayecha, days of your life, comes to teach us that you have to remember the Exodus by day. Kol comes to teach us you have to remember it even by night. According to the Chachamim, yemei chayecha, the days of your life, refers to this world, the pre-messianic world, and kol yemei chayecha comes to include the messianic world as well. Now, fascinating, but it's totally out of place. Now, I didn't give you the whole context here, so you'll have to trust me. Remember, we do Kadesh, Urchatz, Karpas, Yachatz, the first stages of the Haggadah, and then we get to the beginning of the Magid section. So remember, we've done so far, Halach Ma'anya, Manishtana, Avadim Hayinu, then we get to the story of the rabbis who are sitting having their Seder in Bnei Brak, and they're up all night speaking about the Exodus until their students come in and say, Rabboseinu Higia Zman Kriya Shema, it's time to recite Shema, it's morning time. And then the Haggadah brings in this particular episode of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, which, as we will see, is actually a Mishnah from Maseches Brachos. And the obvious question is, what does this have to do with the night of the Seder? Now, I want to analyze this question from two perspectives. First of all, from a halachic perspective. take a look. So first of all, before we actually get to the question, let's speak a little bit about Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So who is Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah? Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is the Nasi, is the head of the Jewish people. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah rises to prominence after the destruction of the Second Temple. This is after the seat of Jewish leadership, the major yeshivos, have moved to Yavne. And again, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is the Nasi, he's the head of the Jewish people. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, we know, comes to his position in a very interesting way. The Talmud records an incredible dispute between Rabbi Gamliel, this is Rabbi Gamliel II, and Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Gamliel publicly shames Rabbi Yoshua, and as a result is deposed, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is appointed instead of Rabbi Gamliel. Now, what was unique about Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, if you take a look at number 2, the Gemara Maseches Brachos says, Hahu Yoma Bar Tamni Sari Shani Hava. How old was Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah when he was appointed to be the Nasi? He was 18 years old. He was 18 years old. Israchish le Nisa, a miracle occurred. Vahajule Tamni Sari Dari Chiyurta. A miracle happened on that day, and he got 18 rows of white hair. Interesting, if some of the commentaries explain there's nothing miraculous about that. That's what happens when you assume the mantle of Jewish leadership, right? It could even turn an 18-year-old gray overnight. Say, behind the Kam Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Hare Ani Kaben Shivim Shana. And that's why again Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah in his statement that we see number 1 says, I am like 70 years old. Not I am 70 years old, I'm like, he in fact was 18. He in fact was 18, he was a young man. But he said, I am like 70 years old for reasons we'll see later on. So this is Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, the Nasi, just to give you the historical context. He is a contemporary of Rabbi Akiva. So he's living again in a time of incredible persecution, a time of incredible difficulty, Hadrianic persecution, rapid anti-Semitism, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is at the helm of the Jewish people. The question that comes up, if you take a look at number 3, Rav Soloveitchik brings up this question from a halachic perspective. And from a halachic perspective, the Rav writes, "Memra zuhi mishnah v'maseches brachos." So this statement, that number 1 in the Haggadah, is actually taken from a mishnah in brachos. Elo diyesh la'ayin ma inyana shal mishnah zu la'haggadah. What does this mishnah, what does this section have to do with the Haggadah? Why? The mishnah zu osekes b'mitzas zichiras yitzias mitzrayim shebechoyom v'ilu b'lel ha'seder Yeshna mitzvah miyuchedes shall sipur yitzias mitzrayim. So the Rav raises a very interesting halachic technical question, which is, there are 2 different mitzvahs. Every single day, we're obligated to remember the Exodus. How do you remember the Exodus? I remember the Exodus. That's it. By simply saying, God took us out of Egypt, that's all you need to do. We fulfill that through the vehicle of Shema. In Shema itself, the Torah says that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. But all you need to do to remember the Exodus is quite literally, remember the fact that God took us out of Egypt. Says the Rav, that is not the mitzvah on the night of the Seder. The mitzvah on the night of the Seder is something called Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. Retelling the Exodus narrative. Now, there's a lot of discussion in terms of what that means. For our purposes tonight, what that means is, literally, an in-depth study and analysis of the events surrounding the Exodus itself, as well as the miracles that accompanied the Exodus. So Rav Soloveitchik asks a very simple question. In number 1, which is a piece from the Haggadah, which is a Mishnah from Maseches Brachos, is talking about what mitzvah? Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Mishnah in number 1 is talking about the daily mitzvah we have to remember the Exodus. And the Mishnah here discusses a dispute between Ben Zoma and the Chachamim about do you have to remember the Exodus just by day, or is enough by day, or do you have to remember it by night as well? But the Rav says one thing is for sure, which is what? It's not talking about the mitzvah of Sipur. It's not talking about the mitzvah of retelling the Exodus narrative. If it's not telling us about the mitzvah of retelling the Exodus narrative, then what is it doing here? Then why do we put this Mishnah punt right in the middle of the Maggid section of the Haggadah if the Mishnah itself is not even discussing the major mitzvah of the night, which is retelling the Exodus narrative? So this is what we're going to try to explore tonight. Why is this paragraph here? Why is this Mishnah inserted if it thematically or halachically does not really have a place on the night of the Seder? Why is it here? And ultimately, what do we learn from it? So there are a number of different approaches. We'll go from least complex to most complex. So the simple answer, I always like to start with a simple answer in case you have to leave early, right? You want to put your head on the pillow, rest easy, you should leave with a simple answer. So the simple answer is number four, the Rambam. Remember the Rambam, interestingly enough, if you look at the Rambam, at the end of the laws of Chametz Umatzah, so the Rambam has his Haggadah. His Haggadah. Now, the Rambam's Haggadah is different than our Haggadah, because the Rambam actually has the Haggadah as it was in the time of the Temple. So, for example, in the Rambam's Haggadah, they have by the section of Manishtana, one of the questions that's asked is, Shebechol Halilos, on every night, we eat meat prepared however we want. Tonight, we only eat Tzli'esh. Tonight, we only eat roasted meat, which of course is reflective of the norm that happened during the times of the Beis HaMikdash when there was an obligation to eat the Karban Pesach. Mm-hmm. So the Rambam in his Haggadah has some very subtle, nuanced differences. One of them is right here. Look at number four. In the Rambam's Haggadah, this paragraph begins differently than it does in our Haggadah. Remember, how does the section begin? What you saw, number one. Omer Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is making a statement. In the Rambam's Haggadah, there are two extra words. What are the extra words? Amar lohem, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said to them. Who is he speaking to? So remember, what's the episode that precedes Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah? That's number five. Ma'aseh v'Rabbi Eliezer v'Rabbi Yoshua v'Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah v'Rabbi Akiva v'Rabbi Tarfon shahayu misubin b'Bnei Brak. What was the episode that occurred immediately before? And these great Rabbanim, we spoke about this episode a couple of years ago in a Haggadah Shir, these great Rabbanim are all going ahead and making their Seder together in Bnei Brak. So according to the Rambam, when does Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah make his statement? Hare ani kaven shivim shana, I am like 70 years old, and I have never mentioned the Exodus at night until I heard the statement of Ben Zoma. When did Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah say this? At that very Seder. So according to the Rambam, the reason we go ahead and include this paragraph of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is because it occurred at the same Seder that we just made reference to in the previous paragraph. Granted, the Rambam would agree that thematically, it's not really part of the night of the Seder. Because remember, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is discussing which mitzvah? Zechira. Remembering the Exodus. The mitzvah on the Seder night is what? Sipur is retelling the narrative. But nevertheless, because all of these things happen at the same Pesach Seder, therefore we include this statement of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Simple answer, contextual answer, even though again, this paragraph represents a thematic aberration. That's our first approach. Take a look at number six. Now we get a little bit more complicated. So the Rav offers an interesting halachic answer. So the Rav writes, Mikol Mokom, Din ze'emes, da ha'osik b'mitzvas zichiras yitzias mitzrayim, mekayim boze gam mitzvas sipur yitzias mitzrayim, kevan de mikol makom siper me'inyon yitzias mitzrayim. Dim lokein, lame hevi bar hagada mishna zu b'hagada. So the Rav says something very interesting. The Rav says, yes, we have this mitzvah of sipur. We have this mitzvah of really telling the Exodus narrative. Now, there's one very interesting thing when it comes to mitzvos, which is that mitzvos are always quantified, right? There's a beginning, there's an end, there's what's called the shiur, there's an amount. So what is the basic amount? How do you fulfill the basic obligation of the mitzvah of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, of retelling the Exodus narrative? What's the most basic unit of mitzvah fulfillment for Sipur? The Rav will say the answer is Zechira. Simply making reference to the Exodus, the mitzvah that we do every single day, is the most basic way to fulfill the mitzvah of Sipur as well. Now again, granted, we're not going to be happy with basic fulfillment of Sipur. We're going to want to take it a step further. But nevertheless, it represents the most basic unit of halachic fulfillment. Therefore, according to the Rav, the paragraph of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is actually not a thematic aberration, but it fits in very beautifully. Because what is the Haggadah doing? The Haggadah is painting a contrast. On one hand, who did the Haggadah just tell us about in the previous paragraph? I apologize, I should have Xeroxed all these pages for you. But who is the Haggadah? Who is the Haggadah telling us about in the previous paragraph? Right? Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, all these great rabbis. And what are the great rabbis doing? They stayed up all night retelling the Exodus. Now that's Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. staying up the entire night plumbing the depths of the Exodus narrative. So on one hand, you have a mitzvah of Sipur that starts at night and goes all the way to the morning. And then what does the Haggadah do next? After the Haggadah gives you one extreme, the Haggadah then what? Gives you the opposite extreme. And what is the minimum amount of retelling of the Exodus necessary to fulfill the mitzvah of the night? Zechira. Simply making mention of the fact that God took us out of Egypt is enough. And that's what Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, that I never went ahead and spoke about the Exodus at night until Ben Zoma came along. Now again, as much as Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is not speaking about the night of the Seder, but the Baal Haggadah, the one who put the Haggadah together, is putting these two, juxtaposing these two halachic poles. On one hand, you have an example of people going all out for Sipur, spending the whole night engaged in the narrative, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, okay, if you could do that, great, but just in order to fulfill the most minimum obligation of Sipur, of retelling the narrative, you just have to make reference to the Exodus. Okay. That's approach number two. So now again, just to review our first two, because then we're going to move on to a couple of more complicated ideas. So approach number one, understanding why this section is here. Why is Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah here? If thematically he's talking about the mitzvah of Zechira, remembering the Exodus, which applies 364 nights of the year, but not on Leil Pesach, where there's a mitzvah of Sipur. So answer number one, the Rambam says, thematic or contextual continuity. Because Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah made his statement when? At the very Seder in Bnei Brak that we made reference to in the previous paragraph, or second possibly, he says, Rav, no, this has halachic importance. Whether the Rav agrees with the Rambam or not is inconsequential, but it has halachic importance, because what the Baal Haggadah is doing for us is giving us the two extremes as to how to fulfill the mitzvah of Sipur. You could spend all night, but if you can't spend all night, if you just make simple reference to it, like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is talking about, you fulfill the mitzvah as well. Then we come to our third approach. Take a look at number seven. And this is a beautiful piece. A beautiful piece. So Rabbi Lau writes in his commentary on the Haggadah the following idea. He says, Echad migedolei parshani ha-Torah bedoros ha-achronim. One of the great Torah commentaries in our later generations is the Malbim. The Malbim. Nifchar likuhunas harabonos harishonos shelo begild sa'ir biyoser v'hayu she'ir uru al-kach. The Malbim was appointed to his first rabbinic post at a very young age. He was in his 20s. Now, again, the Malbim's living in the 1700s, so that was unheard of then. People usually did not get their first rabbinic post. 30 was young, right? Really, it was 40s and above. So we can imagine when the Malbim was appointed to his first rabbinic post, and he was a young man, he had some opposition. You know, not because anyone knew anything about him, but because he looked young. So people equated his youth with the lack of experience. So look what the Malbim said. Tzitik b'fneim ha-Malbim es ha-keta shelefaneinu. So the Malbim, apparently in one of his earlier drushas, in his new Rabbonus, quoted this Mishnah of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So he said, v'hiksha, and the Malbim asked the following question. Madua mishtamish Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah b'signon hanadir v'hayotzei dofen lo zachisi. Why does Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah use such dramatic verbiage? Right? Remember what Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah say? Hareini k'ben shivim shanah, like 70 years old, v'lo zachisi shete omer yitzias mitzrayim ba'leilos. And I never recall the Exodus at night until Ben Zoma came along and taught me what to do. Why do you have to add in lo zachisi? I was never privileged. Why do you just simply say, I never did this because I never knew about it until Ben Zoma came along? Why the flowery verbiage, lo zachisi, I was never privileged? He goes on. Va'od, v'chi Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah shayar rosh yeshiva, u'migdolei chachmei Yisrael, lo yada lidrosh es drashaso shel Ben Zoma, u'mahu hakesher lo'uvda shuposeach ba harei ani k'ben shivim shana. So he asks two more questions, the Malbim. So the question number one is, why do you have to say lo zachisi? I was never privileged. Why did you say I never knew it? Question number two is, let's be honest, Ben Zoma's drasha is very interesting, but you'll excuse me, it doesn't seem like rocket science, right? There's an extra word in the pasuk of kol, all. All is clearly coming to include something additional. So you're telling me that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who was the Rosh Yeshiva, could not come up with that drasha on his own? And question number three is, why does he have to introduce this statement with the phrase, Harei ani k'ven shivim shanah, like 70 years old? So listen to what the Malbim answered. Paragraph B. Ulam hatshuva ne'utza b'mila k'ben. Mesupar b'gimara shekasher minu es Rabbi Elazar ben Azari l'nesius, hu haya rak ben shmona asrei. V'toim lekabel as atafkid ekev gilo atsoyer. Ulam asamach seyer lavan b'zikno v'haya nirak ben shivim shana. So remember, as we pointed out before, Rabbi Elazar ben Azari, there are two reasons why he did not want to take the position. Actually, both were advanced by his wife. Number one, because Mrs. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, listen, if they got rid of Rabbi Gamliel, they can get rid of you as well. So never step into a position where the Balabatim could just throw you out. That's number one. Number two, she said, no one's going to respect you. You're young. So therefore, the Gemara says, a miracle happened. Then what happened? The gray hair sprouted all over. So listen to this. Listen to this. Paragraph C. Amar Eifor Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Listen to how the Malbim understood this Mishnah. Yadati tamid es hadrasha zu. You could imagine this scene. This is the Malbim, young Malbim, speaking to his Balabatim, his new Kehila, who is very skeptical about their new Rav because he's very young. So he says to them, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, Yadati tamid es hadrasha zu. I always knew this drasha. Which drasha are we talking about? Kol yimei chayecha. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, I always knew that Yimei Chayecha meant that you have to remember the Exodus during the day, and Kol comes to include the fact that you have to remember it at night. So what happened? At Ulam, Lo Zachisi, I was never privileged. Never privileged at what? Sheyishmu Lidvarai, Kevan Sha'ani Tzoyer. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, I have been espousing that teaching for a long time. But no one ever listened to me. You know why? Because I'm only Keben Shivim Shana. Because I'm young. And therefore, because I'm young, people don't pay heed to my words. Rak Keben Shivim, v'lo Shivim Amish, Ad Shedar Sheben Zoma. But you know when people began to listen to my Jerusha, says Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah? After Ben Zoma made his statement. What was Ben Zoma's statement? Kavanaso lidrashaso hamifursemes shal benzoma b'meseches avos benzoma omer ezehu chacham halomeid mikal adam. When Benzoma said, who is the one who is wise? He who is willing to learn from every person. Shene'emar mikomelamdai hiskalti. Because as Benzoma said, from all of my students, I have become more wise. Ukishe Benzoma doresh es hadrasha azu. When Ben Zoma made this drasha, and right, that you should be receptive to learning from everyone, and no one argued on that, then Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, then people started listening to me. See, here is happening where he had the Malbim reinterpreted this episode. So according to the Malbim, this was not Ben Zoma's drasha. Ben Zoma's not the one who learned out the pasuk of Kol Yimei Chayecha to learn out the days and the nights. It was Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. He was saying it for years, but no one listened. Why would no one, Lo Zachisi, no one listened to me. Why? Because Hari Ani Keben Shivim Shana. I look old, but everyone knows that I'm not old, right? Everybody knows that I'm young, and therefore no one listened to me. Ad Shedarsha Ben Zoma, until Ben Zoma came along, and Ben Zoma was old. So people respected him. And Ben Zoma said, Ezu Chacham Halomi Mikal Adam. Who is the one who is wise? He who is willing to learn from every person. Then people opened their ears to what it is that I had to say and began to listen to my drasha. Look at paragraph D. So how does it end? Kach amar hamalbim im kabbalas hakahuna harishona shalo kishu romes kimuvan sheish lahabit ala chokma velo el agil. This was the Malbim's first drasha in his new shteller, in his new position, telling his Balabadim, just look at the wisdom I possess and don't worry so much about my age. Why is this important for us? What's the message here? So according to the Malbim, something very dramatic is happening. The purpose or the meaning of this paragraph of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is to teach us the concept that there is wisdom in youth. Meaning that the entire essence of the Pesach Seder is v'higadata lebincha, is to be able to engage the next generation. Lest you think that conversation is only supposed to go one way. Lest you think that all I'm supposed to do is transmit to my children, and my children are just going to sit there like sponges, which of course they do, right? Absorbing every single word that's coming out of my mouth. What do we put in the Haggadah? Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, no, hare ani keben shivim shana. Yes, Spend time transmitting, but also spend time listening, because you would be surprised what we could learn from children. You would be surprised what we could learn from the uninitiated. You could be surprised what would come out of the pure neshamas of children that could open the mind even of a seasoned adult learner. Therefore, according to the Malbim, and this is what Rabbi Lau is trying to highlight over here as well, that although the mitzvah is transmission from us to the youth, we must also be attentive to what it is that they may try to share with us. But we have to take this one step further. Take a look at number 8. Rabbi Twersky, in his commentary on the Haggadah, says something absolutely beautiful. He says, I'll tell you, I sometimes think to myself, we should really learn the Haggadah all year around. Mm-hmm. We should just do a year series on Haggadah, because everything is in here. So look what he writes. The Talmud relates that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was only 18. So here in the first paragraph, he quotes the, miraculously his beard turned white to provide him with the dignified appearance of maturity. The Zohar states that God, the Torah, and Israel are one and the same. Since God and the Torah are infinite and timeless, every Jew should have the capacity to rise above time. So listen to this beautiful story. My great-grandfather, this is Rabbi Twersky talking, my great-grandfather, the first rabbi of Babov, was conversing with some of his Hasidim when someone mentioned that this was a special day and should be celebrated with some refreshments. The rabbi then arose saying, good, I will send my young boy to bring some. After a bit, the Rebbe returned, and it was evident that he himself had run the errand. To the embarrassed Hasidim, he said, I did not lie to you. As I grew older, I took my youth along with me, and I still have the young boy within me. And Rabbi Twersky ends off by saying, one can be 70 at 18, and one could also be 18 at 70. You know what part of the mitzvah of the Leil HaSeder is? Part of the mitzvah is to go ahead and awaken the child within. You know what the greatest collateral damage of growing up is? The greatest collateral damage is we become so cynical, and we become so jaded, and we have sometimes such negative dispositions, and we view everything in life through this cynical, jaded lens. And it doesn't allow us to appreciate so many of the wonderful things. You want to appreciate HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You want to appreciate God? You want to appreciate what happened on the night of Egyptian Exodus? You want to know, really want to feel Yetzias Mitzrayim? You have to become a little bit of a child. Because if you ever tell children over the Makos, right, when you tell them that the Nile turned to blood, their jaw drops. Like, it's amazing. There are frogs everywhere. There are wild animals everywhere. Every single Makos is like a new experience. And you can tell that their imagination just simply runs away with them. And what are the adults doing? You know, are you done yet? You know, it's late. I'm hungry. I'd like to move on with this. And Chaval, Amar Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah, Hare ani kven shivim shana. You know what Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's success was? You know why he was successful? And we'll talk about his success in just a moment. Because he always remained an 18-year-old. Because he always kept that youthful disposition. The reason we have to open ourselves up, we don't just transmit to our children. But you know what we want? Yes, I'm going to give my child knowledge. And you know what I want for my child? I want my 4-year-old's enthusiasm. I want my 8-year-old's inquisitive disposition. I want my 12-year-old's desire to go ahead and soak up every piece of information. Because as adults, those are the things that very often, we know the story, been here, done that, let's move on. No, you want to really feel the Exodus. It sounds so strange, because you would think that the way to really connect with God and the way to really tap into the Exodus dynamic is to refine your intellect. You know what the answer is? No. In fact, sometimes the secret to coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is going to sound strange, is dulling your intellect and amplifying your emotion. Sometimes you just have to become a little bit more childish in your approach and your appreciation for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your appreciation for Torah, your appreciation for the Seder will suddenly come alive. So according to this particular third approach, we have a two-pronged lesson. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is teaching us two things, both focused on youth. Number one, that there is wisdom in youth. And therefore, as much as I have a mitzvah to transmit to my child, I also have to make sure that there's time for my child to transmit to me. Because there are things that we can learn even from those who are younger than us, even from those who are not as smart as us, even from those who don't have as much experience. So I transmit to my child transmits back to me. And number two, if you really want to feel Yetzias Mitzrayim, then we have to adopt the mantra of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Hari Anika ben Shivim Shana, to take a little bit of that youthful disposition with us wherever we go. You know, we see this also by Sari Imenu. The Torah says, Vayu chaye Sara, Me'ashana ve'esrim shana ve'sheva shanim. That Sari Imenu was 100 years, 20 years, and 7 years. So interestingly enough, Rashi says the reason it breaks them up is Kulan Shavos Latova. They were all good. And Rav Soloveitchik explains, says, you know what the beauty of Sari Imenu was? That even when she was 100, she took with her the youthful fascination of a 7-year-old. The mark of great people is that they never lose their youth. Their youth matures. Their youth is refined. But that same beautiful, just untarnished spirituality that children possess, the goal is keep that with you no matter where you go in life. And in fact, look at number 9. I'll show you just something amazing, just as an aside. The Gemara Maseches Bracha says, on the day that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was appointed as the head of the yeshiva, the first thing he did, Tana, Osa Yom Salku Al Shomer HaPesach. On that day, when Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was appointed, they removed the guard, the sentry, from the doorway of the Beis Medrash. Why was there a guard in the sentry of the Beis Medrash? In the entrance of the Beis Medrash. And he says, and he allowed anyone who wanted to enter. Because Rabbi Gamliel made a rule. And the rule was that if, Kol Talmid She'ein Tochel Kibaro, if your inside is not like your outside, then what? Then you are not allowed in the Beis Medrash. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah only wanted people who possessed pure sincerity inside and out. And if you can't measure up to that, then I'm sorry. You are barred from entering the Beis Medrash. And what did Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah do? The first thing he did is he removed the guard. And what happened on that day? Hahu yoma atosfu kama safsoi. That day, the Gemara has a dispute how many, but that day they had to add hundreds upon hundreds of benches in the Beis Medrash. Why did Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah do this? You know that one of the major distinctions between children and adults is what? Major distinctions. How do children relate to other people? Children are by definition trusting. Sometimes, unfortunately, that could be exploited. But children by definition are trusting. Why? Because the default position of a child is to see the good in someone else. That's what children see. Children don't see your faults. Children don't see your deficiencies. Maybe once they get to know you, that's something different. But the idea is, at a first glance, what a child sees is good. What a child sees is purity. What a child sees is holiness. It's only when we get older and we become a little bit more cynical that we become very adept and very, very skilled at very quickly identifying everyone else's shortcomings and faults. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who was the 18-year-old. What's the first thing he does? He says, everybody deserves a seat in the Beis Medrash because everybody has the ability to become great. Rabbi Gamliel was many years his senior. And Rabbi Gamliel had already lived in this world long enough to know that there are many insincere people. And therefore, we have to weed them out. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, give them a chance. And you will see that every single person has the ability to be good. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Harei Ani Kaven Shevim Shana. The power of maintaining a youthful disposition is that it allows us to connect with God, with Torah, with Yetzias Mitzrayim, with each other in a way that we can't do as adults. And by keeping our ear open to the youth, we would be surprised what we will learn over the course of the Seder. Fourth approach, which is our final approach for tonight. So, for this fourth approach, what I'd like to do is to be able to take you back to the original text. Because as we pointed out from the beginning, this is a Mishnah in Maseches Brachos. So the Mishnah writes the following, number 10. Maskirin Yetzias Mitzrayim. So I'm not going to read the whole thing. The Mishnah is pretty much, in the Haggadah, we pretty much just include the Mishnah verbatim. All right? Now, skip down to the next paragraph. where it says Gemara. So again, just to review the Mishnah, we have a dispute between Ben Zoma and the Chachamim. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, I hold like Ben Zoma. Ben Zoma darsh in the pasuk kol yemei chayecha. Yemei chayecha refers to the fact that you have to remember the Exodus by day. Kol, which is a riboy, an additional phrase, an inclusive phrase, all means you have to remember the Exodus at night. The Chachamim, the rabbis, disagree with Ben Zoma. They say, no, yemei chayecha means you have to remember the Exodus in this world, so to speak. And kol yemei chayecha, that what? You have to remember the Exodus in the Messianic era as well. So look at the Gemara. Tanya Amar lahem Ben Zoma l'Chachamim. I'm in number 10, second paragraph. The Chacham said to Ben Zoma, V'chimas kirin in yitzias atayim limos ha-mashiach, will we really remember the Exodus when the Messiah comes? After all, Baruch Va Ne'ama, the Navi in Yom-Yo says, Hine yomim abo'im nu'um Hashem. Days are coming. V'lo yomru od chai Hashem, asher he'eloz b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim, ki im chai Hashem asher he'eloz, va'asher he'vi es zera be'Yisrael me'eretz Tzifona, u'mikol ha'arotzos asher he'dachtim sham. So the Navi seems to explicitly say, the Navi Yirmiyahu says, that when Mashiach comes, we will no longer refer to God as the God who redeemed us from Egypt, but rather we will refer to Him as the God who gathered us in from all of our scatterings, from all of our exiles. This seems to say explicitly that in the Messianic era, we will not make reference to the redemption from Egypt. So what happens? So the Gemara responds, Amru lo, the Chachamim said to Ben Zoma, Lo shete akar yitzias yitzayim bimkoma, ele shetehe shibud malchios ikar, v'yitzias yitzayim tofelo. So the Chachamim respond to Ben Zoma and they say, no, the Navi doesn't mean that the Exodus will totally be forgotten. Rather, what it means is that the Exodus will occupy a secondary importance. That whereas the primary event will be Messianic redemption, and Yitzias HaTzayim will be of secondary importance, as opposed to now, where if you notice, every single thing we do always has the phrase, Zecher LiYitzias Mitzrayim. Because the truth is that the Exodus is the major event that has concretized our faith in God. We'll discuss this in more depth in just a moment. So therefore again, the Chacham say back to Ben Zoma, when Mashiach comes, Yitzias Yisrael, the Exodus is not going to fall off the map, but rather again, it's going to be relegated to a second tier of importance. Messianic redemption will be the event, and the Exodus will be of secondary nature, of secondary importance. So if we take a look at number 11, Rav Kook, in his commentary on the Haggadah, tries to understand what are they arguing about. You know, when you see a dispute like this, so again, it's not just, so okay, you could say, yes, they're arguing about, will we remember the Exodus when Mashiach comes? So of course, the first question is, who cares? Right, let Mashiach figure that out when he gets here. I mean, that's the least of our problems, what we're going to do in Mashiach. I have much greater questions than if we're going to remember the... So obviously, if they're arguing about this, it must mean that there is a much deeper theological debate that is unfolding over here. And look what Rav Kook writes, and this is quite amazing. Rav Kook says, number 11, paragraph A, three lines in, right after the bolded lines. Lohavin tam hamachlokes shel ben zoma v'chachamim. So what are they arguing about, Ben Zoma and the Chachamim? So look what Rav Kook says. B'chol davar pe'ula sheba'olam, yesh hachana v'tachlis. In everything in this world, says Rav Kook, in every action, there's what's called a hachana. Hachana means preparation, a preparatory act, and tachlis. Tachlis means the end purpose. The end purpose, or perhaps we would say that hachana really represents the means, and tachlis represents the ends. He says, "V'im hadavar hu gadol gam hachana shel nichbada, aval erech hatachlis li'olam yoser gadol mi'achana." So says Rav Kook, the preparation, the hachana, is very important. But what is really ikar? What is really dominant? It is the tachlis. The purpose is always that which is more important. So Rav Kook gives a simple example. V'hine bichlal yom hu hatachlis. V'layla ha'achana. So for example, day is considered to be the tachlis, day is considered to be the purposeful ends, and night is considered to be hachana. Night is considered to be preparation for the day. What's the proof to that, says Rav Kook? Shenachim b'layla kedei la'avod b'yom. Because what do we do at night? Not all that much. We go to sleep. right? We go to sleep. And the whole point of going to sleep is so that we should be properly re-energized and recharged to be able to accomplish something by day. So the night is the hakhon of the preparation, and the day is the tachlis, the purpose. Rav Kook goes on, paragraph B. V'hine, yitzias Mitzrayim yesh ba beiz b'chinos halalu. So Rav Kook writes, if you think about it, the Exodus has these two very aspects associated with it. He says, Tachlis atzmis v'hachana. On one hand, one can make the argument that the Exodus itself was a purposeful end, and on the other hand, it was also a preparatory act. How so? Hatachlis atzmo shebohi. Why was it a purposeful end? Shmasha het hayitzia hanifla'a hahi hodia lanu gidulas Hashem yisparach. So for example, one of the most important things that we see from the Exodus is the Exodus was the first time that we learned about God. Right? Remember, it's interesting that when we go ahead and even we make Kiddush on Shabbos. So Kiddush, which is supposed to represent the fact that HaKadosh Baruch, we rest on Shabbos because God rested on Shabbos. You would think that the only event we would make reference to is what? Is creation. Yet even on Kiddush on Shabbos, we make reference to the Egyptian Exodus. Why? For the simple reason, no one saw creation. We weren't there to witness God's incredible creative powers. But our entire nation did see God's incredible power by the Exodus. So it was truly by Yetzias, by the Exodus, that we saw God as a creator. Number one, va'amitas hashgachoso. We saw divine providence. Va'ahavaso lezera avodav Avram Yitzchok and Yaakov. And we saw the actualization of the divine promise that God made to the patriarchs. So on one hand, you could say that the Exodus from Egypt is a tachlis. It's a purposeful end because it's through that event that we actually came to know God. We understood God as a creator. How do we see God as a creator? Because remember, what was the point of the Makos? The plagues were not just to punish the Egyptians. The plague were to also show the Jewish people God's dominion over nature. That's how we learned about God as a creator. So we saw God as a creator. We saw the fact that there is a special divine providence that is accorded to the Jewish people. And number three, we saw the fact that when God makes promises, He keeps His promises. He told Avram that we'd be enslaved, and He also told Avram that we'd go free, and we'd go out as a great nation. So on one hand, the Exodus is a purposeful end. On the other hand, it's also a tachlis. Excuse me, it's also a hachana. It's also preparatory. How so? Because remember, although we were taken out of Egypt, was redemption complete after we left Egypt? Of course not. Look where we are. I mean, it's good. I'm happy everybody's here. But look where we are. Clearly, Egyptian Exodus was not complete because we're in Galus, because we're still in diaspora. We suffered much even after the Exodus. So if that's the case, then if you understand the Exodus as a preparatory act, as a hachana, then what did it accomplish? Yetzias Mitzrayim teaches us an incredible lesson that no matter how terrible things get, we will make it through. We suffered for 210 years in back-breaking servitude. They threw our babies into the Nile, and yet we came out of it strong. We came out of it undeterred. We rebuilt after that. And yes, a number of times after that, we were destroyed. We built back up. We were destroyed. So says Rav Kook, Yitzias Mitzrayim as a hachana, as a preparatory act, although it did not solidify and cement our redemption, but it gave us the tools necessary to weather all the future storms that would beset our people and us as individuals. So says Rav Kook something absolutely amazing. He says, this is the fundamental dispute between Ben Zoma and the Chachamim. Watch this. Rav Kook says, according to the Chachamim, they say we only recite Zichiras Yitzias Mitzrayim Bayom, by day. Day, says Rav Kook, is what? Is tachlis. day represents purposeful ends. The position of the Chachamim was that Yitzias Mitzrayim was a tachlis. It was not a hachana, because Yitzias Mitzrayim, although it did not cement our geula forever, it gave us certain building blocks for our spiritual persona that are ours to this very day. And as such, the entire Exodus was a tachlis. It was a fully complete process. And that's why, again, we're only recited by day, but not at night. Because what's nighttime? What's nighttime?
Sleep time.
Nighttime is sleep. Good. Right? Nighttime is hachana. Right? Nighttime is preparation. So we will only speak about the Exodus by day, the time of tachlis, and not at night. And therefore, even when Mashiach comes, says the Chachamim, we will still make reference to what? To the Egyptian Exodus. Because the fact that Mashiach is here is wonderful. But the arrival of the Messiah in no way diminishes the importance that Yetzias Mitzrayim has for us. Comes along Ben Zoma and says, my fellow rabbis, you are dead wrong. Yitzias Mitzrayim is not a tachlis. It's not an ends. Look at us. Remember, understand where these conversations are taking place. Right? These conversations are taking place again during the times of the second Beis Hamikdash. Destruction, persecution. Ben Zoma says, what are you talking about? How can you say that Yitzias Mitzrayim is a purposeful end? We're still suffering. And there's more suffering to come. Therefore, says Ben Zoma, you know what Yitzias Mitzrayim was? Yitzias Hashem was purposeful preparation. Yitzias Hashem gave us the tools to be able to weather the storm. The Egyptian Exodus, remember, like Rav Kook said before, taught us that God loves us, that God watches over us, that God will keep His promise, that God has control over everything. Ashkacha Pratis, all the necessary ideological and theological principles to allow us to stand strong no matter how difficult life may become. And therefore, says Ben Zoma, not only are you going to make reference to the Egyptian Exodus by day, but you also have to do it when? You also have to do it at night. Because nighttime is the time of hachana. Nighttime is the time of preparation. And therefore, says Ben Zoma, you have to say Yitzias Mitzrayim. And therefore, according to Ben Zoma, when Mashiach comes, what's going to happen to Yitzias Mitzrayim? It's going to fall by the wayside. Why? Because the entire point of Yitzias Mitzrayim was to allow us to have the staying power to get to the Messianic era. But once we get to the Messianic era, the hachana, the preparation is done. And therefore, according to Ben Zoma, Yitzias Mitzrayim falls off the map. So Rav Kook puts forward that this is a fundamental theological dispute about the role of the Exodus in our national story, as a people. How do we view Yitzias Mitzrayim? So one more time, according to the Chachamim hold that it's a tachlis, it's a purposeful end. Yitzias Mitzrayim accomplished concrete things, and it accomplished everything it was supposed to accomplish, and therefore only say it by day, time of tachlis, not at night, a time of hachana. Therefore, Messianic era comes, we're still going to make reference to the Exodus. Ben Zoma, absolutely not. It's not a tachlis, it's not a purposeful end. Purposeful end would mean that the process is complete. The process is not complete. Look where we are. Therefore, says Ben Zoma, we're going to remember the Exodus at night, time of Achana. And when Mashiach comes, that means the process is complete. And when the process is complete, the Achana, the preparatory chapter of the Exodus narrative, will simply fall by the wayside. How do we paskin, right? Who do we hold like? Because remember, this shapes the Exodus story in two radical. How do we paskin? So take a look. And number 12, the Rambam in the Laws of Kriyat Shema writes the following: Afa pi she'in mitzvas tzitzis noheges palayla. Even though, again, remember, the third chapter of Shema is primarily occupied with the mitzvah of tzitzis. Even though the mitzvah of tzitzis does not apply at night, nevertheless, korin oso balayla, we still read the third chapter of Shema. Why? Mipnei sheyesh ba zikaron yitzias Mitzrayim. Because the third paragraph of Shema makes reference to the Egyptian Exodus. Umitzvah lahaskir yitzias Mitzrayim bayom ubalayla. And the Rambam writes, we have an obligation to remember the Exodus by day and by night, which reflects whose opinion? Good. Ben Zoma and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. But let me show you something amazing. Want to know something fascinating? You would think that based on this, remember, the Rambam codifies the 613 mitzvahs. So you would have thought based on this, the Rambam would write that remembering the Exodus at night is one of the 613. But yet, amazingly enough, the Rambam in his Minyan HaMitzvos does not include this as a mitzvah. Why? Look at number 13. Rav Soloveitchik writes, the Rav Soloveitchik writes, Asher lefizeh nisba'er lama lo mana harambam es mitzas zechiras yisra min ha-mitzos. You know why the Rambam doesn't include it? The harambam kasa b'sefer ha-mitzos, the mitzvah sha'asida libatel, eina nimnis b'minyin ha-mitzos. The Rambam only counts mitzvos that will be applicable in the Messianic era as well. Umitzvas zechiras yetzias mitzrayim, asida libatel b'yemos ha-mashiach. And amazingly enough, the mitzvah of remembering the Exodus at night remembering the Exodus in general will not be in effect in the Messianic era. So the Rambam adopts the position of Ben Zoma and comes along the Haggadah, and Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah is advocating the position of Ben Zoma. So now let's just follow this for just a moment. So now again, Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah comes along and says, Harei ani kiven shivim shana. I'm like 70 years old. And Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah is essentially saying the halacha follows Ben Zoma, which much later the Rambam does as well. The halacha follows Ben Zoma. So what is Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah telling us in the context of the Haggadah? Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah is telling us that the essence of Pesach is not a tachlis, but it's a hachana. It's not a purposeful end, but rather it is a preparation for what is still to come. And Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is saying is something amazing. You know what the incredible, spectacular, and beauty of Pesach is? That we remind ourselves that the best is yet to come. Right after the episode of the great Rabbanim, who stayed up the whole night in Bnei Brak. And what were they doing the whole night in Bnei Brak? Besides schwitzing, right? It's very humid in Bnei Brak. Right? So, right, what were they doing the whole night in Bnei Brak? They were retelling the Exodus narrative. So you might think that maybe the night of this Seder is all about reenacting and retelling historical events. Because after all, that's what these rabbis did the entire night. What does Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, whether you could even combine the Rambam in here, especially go to Rambam, the Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was at that Seder itself. So as these rabbis are spending the whole night retelling the historical events, what does Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah do? He gets up and he says, he darshins like Ben Zoma. He tells his fellow rabbinic colleagues that Pesach is not just simply remembering that which occurred. Pesach is not just simply reliving historical events, but rather what Pesach is stoking the fire of eager anticipation for what is still to come. Pesach reminds us that yes, Yetzias Mitzrayim was incredible. It was glorious. It was magnificent. But as great as that was, you should see what's coming down the pike. You should see what's going to happen. Close your eyes and imagine the great brachos that are still waiting for us in the years to come. The whole goal, says Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Delel HaSeder, is to awaken an anticipatory excitement for what is still to come. And that's why this paragraph is not extraneous at all. Linking, going all the way back, although again, this particular paragraph is talking about the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, remembering the Exodus, and not the mitzvah of Sipur, but it comes to teach us an incredible, incredible idea. Don't think for a moment that Pesach is about history. Pesach is about destiny. But instead, what we do on the night of the Seder, what we do on the night of the Seder is something amazing. We use our past to inspire us in the present about a spectacular future. We draw on the episode of the Exodus to remind us that just like we were in a period of desperation for 210 years, where nothing looked like it was going to turn around, and then beautiful bracha was visited upon our people, that dynamic is going to repeat itself. And amazingly enough, look at number 14. Look how we end the section of Magid. This is the bracha of Asher Galim. This is the bracha that we make over the second cup, which represents the end of the Magid section of the Haggadah. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam, Asher Ga'alanu, the Ga'alas Ha'osim Mitzrayim. Thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who redeemed us, redeemed our fathers from Egypt. V'hegi'anu l'arayla hazeh, le'echol bo matzul maror. Thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for bringing us to this night, v'hegi'anu matzul maror. Now, if it would have just stopped there, that would have been great. But it doesn't stop. What does it say? Kein Hashem Elokeinu v'lokei avoseinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Pesach is not a tachlis. It's not an end. Pesach is a hachana. Pesach is a preparatory experience, and therefore, Kein Hashem Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu Yagi'enu l'moadim v'lergolim acherim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bring us to joyous events. L'krasenu v'shalom smeichem v'vinyani refa. Bring us to a rebuilt Yerushalayim. V'sasim ba'avodah secha. Let us rejoice in your sacrificial avodah. V'noch hasham min hazvacha min hapsacham. I don't want to eat afikoman. I want to eat Karban Pesach. She'yagiyo dama ma'akir mizbachacha l'ratzon. V'node lecha shir chadash. We are ready to sing for you a new song. Al gu'ulasinu for our redemption. V'al pidus nafshina for the deliverance of our soul. Baruch ato Hashem gal Yisrael. So amazingly enough, at the end of the Maggid section, how do you know, right? We always want to know, how do you gauge if you've had a successful Seder experience? And don't say indigestion, right? How do you gauge? How do I know? Did I accomplish what I was supposed to do at the Pesach Seder? And Rav Kook would say very simply, are you yearning for something greater by the time you get to that second cup? Are there butterflies in your stomach after reading about all of the miracles of the past because you close your eyes and you could see and you could taste the redemption that is going to be here so shortly? That is a successful Pesach Seder. When I realize that everything I'm doing this night is just simply to prepare myself to stoke the fire of eager anticipation for that which is going to come, that is a successful Pesach Seder. To awaken that yearning for the hachana, for the prep, for the arch state, for the tachlis, for the end result of messianic redemption, that ultimately is what we're supposed to accomplish on the night of the Seder. And here's something amazing. So according to this approach, we now understand this in the context of the Seder as well. The one fundamental distinction, well, there are many distinctions, but I think the one fundamental distinction between a slave and between a free person is one word.
Time.
Okay, maybe two words. It's time. Hope. An eved, a slave, has no hope, has no optimism. And why should he? His life circumstances are not in his control. The greatest manifestation of our newfound freedom that we celebrate over the course of the Seder is our ability to eagerly anticipate something greater. That is the great, the free man could dream. The free man could hope. The free man could close his eyes and realize that, you know what, no matter what's happening now, I am so confident that things could become absolutely blissfully beautiful for us as a people and for us as an individual. And this is what Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was trying to convey to his fellow rabbinic colleagues. You guys are spending all of your time focusing on the past. You are spending all of your time telling the story about, which is fine, as long as you don't miss the point. The point is not a lesson in history. The point is, again, as we said before, to use our past to inspire us in the present about a spectacular future. Draw on the Exodus narrative, the hachon of the preparation, and use it to stoke that fire of eager anticipation for what is short to come. So if we bring everything together, I think we see something really amazing. What begins as a simple paragraph, benign paragraph, right? All these years we said this paragraph and we go through it, it's fine. Now we realize gold, absolute gold in one little paragraph of the Seder. Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Hariani Kaben Shivim Shana, teaches us so many profound lessons. Number one, there's wisdom in youth. There's wisdom in youth. So yes, transmit, but also give yourself the time to receive, because you'll never know what you're able to learn from the younger generation. Number two, there's wisdom in youth, and therefore, always keep your youthful disposition with you no matter how old you are. As Rabbi Tversky said, you could be 70 when you're 18, and you could be 18 when you're 70. Let's choose the latter. Get rid of some of the cynicism. Leave aside a little bit of the jaded. We often have good reasons in life why we're so cynical and so jaded. But Pesach is the time to reinvent ourselves. Pesach is the time to become a little bit more childish and begin to view each other, begin to view the world in a little bit of a purer and just nicer and more pleasant and holier lens. Next lesson we see from Rav Kook is the fundamental machlokes between, again, Ben Zoma and the Chacham that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah weighs in on. At the end of the day, we paskin like Ben Zoma, and that's what Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is coming to teach us. Lest you think that Pesach was an ends, it's not an ends. Pesach is a means. Pesach is a preparation. Pesach is a hachana. And the entire essence of Pesach is to awaken within ourselves a yearning and a desire for something more. We all too often go through life content with what we have now. We're okay with where we're holding. We're okay with the way that life is now. And the Jew, if there's one thing about the Jew, is the Jew is never allowed to be content. The Jew, I'm going to say this, but I don't really mean it. The Jew is never allowed to be happy. Now, what does that mean? We're supposed to be happy, of course, but we're never supposed to be complacent happy. Whether it's okay, life is pretty good, it's all right, things are manageable. No. For the Jew always has to figure out a way to stoke the fire of eager anticipation for what is still to come. And that's the Avodah of Pesach. Again, we draw on the past experiences to inspire us in the present about a magnificent future. So we should be Zocha that as we go through our Pesach Seder, in this paragraph and all of our paragraphs, we should be Zocha to Mirat Hashem have a beautiful and uplifting experience. We should ignite that fire of eager anticipation. We should realize that life holds incredible promise for us as a people and for us as individuals. And halavai, by the time we get to that second coast, we should be so inspired about what the future holds for each of us. And halavai, in the merit of each of us becoming inspired about a beautiful future, in the merit of all of us collectively getting excited about the fact that Pesach was just a preparation, but the best is still to come. As I mentioned this morning, halavai, when we open up the door for Eliyahu HaNavi. It's been 2,000 years. It's been 2,000 years of opening the door with no one there. Halavai, we should be zocha that this should be the year in the merit of our collective eager fire of anticipation for a beautiful future, that we should open our doors together. And halavai, we should be zocha to see the beautiful shining countenance of Eliyahu HaNavi as he tells us, this is your last Seder here. Hashata hacha l'shana haba ba'aradi Yisrael.
Amen.